Good morning. Today is September 13th, and this is the podcast.
So in issue 48, Daisy is holding up those plastic ring things. Like, you know when you get a six-pack of soda pop at the store, they'll often come bound together in those kind of clear plastic things. Like six rings all stuck together, and the tops of the pop cans will be kind of inserted into them. So when you want to pop, you sort of pull it out. And then when you've drunk all the pops, then you've got this ring thing left. So Daisy's holding one of those up, and she's holding a pair of scissors up to it. And she says, "Pud, we need to cut the rims on our beverage holders so animals don't get caught in them." And then in the next panel, Pud seems to have hogtied himself by sticking his limbs through the beverage holders somehow. I'm not sure how he managed to do that, but there it is. And Pud says, "Help! Somebody!" Daisy says, "See what I mean?" So on the surface, this is just a joke about how Pud is as stupid as a dumb duck or something as to get caught in this thing and not be able to get out. It'd be inconceivable how any human being could manage to do that. So Pud must be really stupid, and it's stupid people are funny, especially when they're suffering because of their own stupidity. But really, that's kind of a weak joke, and the real point of this comic is to deliver this message about recycling and the environment and cutting the rings on the beverage holders, which, by the way, is because when garbage gets thrown in the ocean and into landfills and so on, animals who are trying to scavenge it for food often get caught in these little holes and end up suffocating or starving to death or something because they're all confined like that. And so if you cut the rings, then they'll be able to get out of them easier. That's the message of this comic, kind of concealed beneath a thing of humor. And this really gets back to something that's pretty central in the history of comics and cartoons, especially in regards to the kids' genre. Because the peculiar thing about the children's genre that makes it utterly unique is that the people who are paying for it, the parents, are not the same people who are actually consuming it, the kids themselves. There's been a paranoia, especially in the Americas, which have a very kind of puritanical foundation, that media, especially mass media developed for children, is somehow inherently a corrupting and evil influence, and that children's media must be strictly censored and controlled so that their innocence does not become corrupted. Though, you know, it's got to happen sometime. And so this leads to a lot of media companies, fearful for their livelihood, imposing a kind of censorship on themselves, and as part of this, trying to defend themselves, saying, "No, we're not corrupting the youth. In fact, we'll be educating the youth and teaching them good morals." And the parents like this. Parents like it when companies do their jobs for them and educate children and stuff. And the fact that something's educational is always a good excuse for whatever else might go on. That's why Double Bubble has the fun facts, in fact, as a way to be didactically educational, though, of course, trivia is hardly what I'd call education, but, you know. So, this thing about the environment is to sell parents on the philosophical worth of the media and the genre itself, even if children who actually watch this stuff hate it, because children are understood to be passive and mindless viewers who will basically consume anything they're given. And that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because kids traditionally have had to take what they can get. That's the situation. And your Double Bubble fun fact is that Antarctica is the coldest, windiest, and highest continent. Highest, of course, proven in the 1936 expedition by Miskatonic University, led by Professor William Dyer, looking for Devonian fossil record, but resulted in the discovery of a mountain range, with some of the peaks being even higher than Everest. Look it up.